Our call to worship are some of God's words from Isaiah. Pay attention, open your eyes. Are you blind? You are my servant, and you're not looking. The very people I depended upon, servants of God, blind as a bat, willfully blind. You've seen a lot, but looked at nothing. God intended out of the goodness of his heart to be lavish in his revelation. But this is a people battered and cowed, shut in attics and closets, victims licking their wounds, feeling ignored and abandoned. Is anyone paying attention to what's coming? And then some words from Matt Maher. Can a blind man finally see the light? Can a blind man finally see the light? Well, if you were in the dark your whole life, could you tell what the light looks like? Can a blind man finally see the light? Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to the newness of this day. Lord, open our eyes clouded with night. Lord, open our eyes misted with prejudice. Lord, open our eyes blinded to beauty. Lord, open our eyes dimmed with sorrow. Lord, open our eyes closed through fear. Lord, open our eyes and make us aware. Lord, open our eyes to be more sensitive. Lord, open our eyes and increase our appreciation. Lord, open our eyes to a vision of your glory. Lord, open our eyes to your presence with us. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our next song, which is a song of adoration. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. And this is going to be on the CD, and I think we've got 8 bars intro, everybody.
Thank you.
It is a long time since we have sung that. I think some of you have forgotten it. Okay, let's pray. This is a prayer of preparation. Lord, widen our vision that we may know you in your creation and through your creation. Though you are greater than all things and not bound by them, you can be found within all by those who have eyes to see. May we perceive all life as holy and all places as sacred, for you have made all out of your love and for your love. Touch our hearts that we may respect all things and honour all people, for you dwell in them and they dwell in you. Lord, open our lives to your glory this day. Amen. Okay, I hope you can see the screen. I know it's quite sunny down that side. But the next bit of what we're doing is a question. What do you see? And I've got a number of pictures, and they're not necessarily right or wrong answers, as you'll discover. So, let's have a look. Steve. Okay, what do you see? Yeah. Okay, this one. What do you see? Do you see a black vase or two white faces in profile? Or can you see both? Can you switch between the two? There are lots of psychological somethings, depending on which you see first, but I'm not going to that today. So. Okay, have a look at the next one. What do you see here? Do you see three arrows and three, five, six black circles? Or do you see a white triangle on top that actually isn't there?
Yes.
You see the white? Yeah, okay. Okay, next one. What do you see here? Yeah, is it a rabbit facing that way? Or a duck facing this way?
Both.
Okay. Yeah, it depends how you look at it, doesn't it? Okay. This one is an oldie. You probably know this one. What do you see here? Do you see a young lady facing away from you? Or do you see an old lady facing left? And can you switch between the two? Anybody not see both of them? Just out of interest. Okay. Do you see the young lady or the old lady just yet?
No.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Okay, there's a line where I see this. It's her chin and she's looking away from you. Yeah? But if she's the old lady looking to you, that's her nose. And the line is her neck is her mouth. Yeah? Oh, I hate to tell you what this says about you, but... Okay, next one. Oh, something's gone wrong here, Steve, because these are supposed to phase up and down. You're supposed to have one and not the other. Okay, don't worry about it. You will have to go with it as it is. This one is the same picture. On this side, it looks like a horse's head. On that side, it looks like a frog. But if you turn your head, you'll have to do it because I can't do it with the computer now. It's the same image. Yeah. That means the next one's not going to work at all, Steve. Okay. Don't worry. I spent a long time when I was putting this PowerPoint together, literally going... Right, this one, if you look at the picture on this side, what does it look like? An old man with a flat cap. If you look at the picture on the other side, what does it look like? A dog with a bone. It's in fact the same picture, but this time upside down. And if you really want to do that, you can do. Okay. Next one. What do you see here?
Right.
Okay. Can everybody see the lady in Victoria Glove walking towards the stage?
Yes. Yes.
But if you also look at the whole picture and don't focus in on it, you can see the profile of her face, and you're right, it does look a bit like when you shake it, it's got a big forehead to it.
Yes.
Can you see that one as well? Yes. Okay.
Did you? Just saw the face first?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right, and this one I find fascinating. Let's look at the last one.
What's this? Now, if you look at this side particularly, it looks like a float in an anorak running into the woods, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you look at the other side, it's the same photograph. It's actually a dog, a black dog, running out of the woods.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Sorry those didn't seem to do as they were told. Never mind. What you saw says something about you. It says something about how you look. Sometimes we see the faces quicker than other things because we're kind of programmed, aren't we, to kind of look for and recognise faces. It's like the camera software now that, you know, puts a little face around somebody and goes, oh, it's so-and-so, if you photographed them before. And some of them, some people can't see at all. And sometimes it depends how hard you look at the picture and what you ask your brain to do when you're looking. Do you see a detail or do you see the whole picture? And are you able to, once you've seen one, can you go back and see the other? Because some people can't do that either. And the same is true when we're looking at God. Sometimes we see God just as a face, and probably you might think of the face of God as Jesus. But sometimes we're asked to look beyond what we think we can see. And I want you to hang on to that idea for the rest of the service. Let's pray. When we claim to have foresight, second sight, and insight, when in reality even our first sight is short, Father, open our eyes. When we blunder on blindly, like ships in a dense fog, never knowing how truly lost we are, never seeking past the ends of our needs, Father, open our eyes. When we collide with one another like bats with malfunctioning radar, not even noticing the damage that we've done, Father, open our eyes. When we walk through your world as if we ourselves had made it and fail to recognise the fingerprints you leave, Father, open our eyes. When we are blind to your presence in the eyes of the poor, blind to the perfection that lies visibly before us, blind to your handiwork, blind to your care, blind to the signs that you scatter all around us. Father, we pray you would heal our sight. Amen. And we're going to carry on in that kind of feel of confession as we sing our next song. Now, the words might not be familiar to you, but the tune will be. It's the second tune to Breathe On Me, Breath of God. So let's stand and sing and pray these words. We've got this lines 3 and 4 as the introduction. So.
Thank you.
attention. Okay, the next thing we're doing is a bit of an activity. Now, I'm going to give you some quite serious instructions to start with. You're going to listen to something. Somebody's going to be reading something. But to get the most benefit from what they're reading, you actually need to shut or cover your eyes really, really well so you can't see anything. Okay? So if you want to, cover your eyes over. If you're going to shut your eyes, shut them. But try and keep them shut for the whole of the reading and really, really listen.
You can't see. Perhaps you can just turn light and dark, or is it only the sun's warmth that distinguishes day from night? You developed a routine in the darkness. You know the way around your home, the path along the road when you sit and beg, but the larger road confuses, threatens. If you stray off the path, you have problems. You can identify some voices, people you know, and others that simply come out of nowhere, from any direction. It's not always easy judging a mood when you can't see the face. As you sit by the roadside, you hear shouting in the distance. It gets nearer, louder. People around you are getting excited. Questions pass from one to another. What's it all about? Who's coming? Is it somebody special? I don't know. I can't see them. Yes, now I can. There's a whole crowd of them. Then the words spread. It's Jesus, the new teacher, the healer. For a moment, you sit still, trying to stay out of the way of people's feet. Then you think, Jesus, the healer, the man you've heard about as you listened to other people talking. You wonder, then make up your mind. This is your only chance. You may not come this way again. You call. Your voice can't be heard in the crowd. You shout louder. Wave your arms. Ignore the people around you. It's not the first time you've been sworn at or pushed out of the way. You're an obstacle rather than a person. Then the crowd seems to grow quiet. There's a silence. And one voice calls you. You stand up, and unknown hands push you forward. You move towards the sound of a voice, and suddenly your hand is caught in other hands. These hands are different. There's a warmth in them. They're strong and firm, but they don't compare. They persuade you across the road, and you don't hesitate. Then again you hear the voice, clear but quieter. The words just meant for you, not the crowd. What do you want to do? Yes. It's personal. You feel his attention is on you, only you. The voice seems to enfold you, gather you into itself. What do you want? Then whisper. Reply. I want to see.
You can open your eyes now. Thank you, Ian, remotely for reading for us. And before we actually have our Bible reading, we're going to sing again. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. There are, I think it's 8, but it might be 16 because I might have counted it wrong, bars intro. But you do know this because you sang it last week, I think. So everybody can have a good sing. Okay. Hannah's going to bring us our reading from Mark chapter 10, and this is the next in the lectionary series working its way through Mark's Gospel.
This reading is Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So he called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Thanks be to God.
I guess this is quite a familiar story to most of us. Bartimaeus is not the first person who's mentioned in the Gospels who is healed from a visual impairment. Unusually for Mark, the person of the story is named the son of Timaeus, as he explains in brackets. I wonder why that is. Some people think that it's because he was very well known as one of Jericho's blind beggars, and everybody would have been familiar with him, sitting in his usual place as they passed him day after day. But there are some very powerful lessons for us to uncover in this story of his healing. I'm going to do... Hello? We've lost a bit at the top. Not for the first time, you might be adding, but never mind. I'm going to do a bit of a Chris Whitty today with next slides, because today's talk is a little bit of a Bible study. And I want us to think differently about this text. I want us to think about in terms of profit... side on this side, what is a gain or a positive enhancement, and that side, loss, what is removed or negative or dropped. I've got 12 pointers for you, which might seem a lot, but they were the 12 pointers that came to me when I was preparing, and 12 is quite a good number because the Old Testament gives us 12 tribes of Israel and Jesus had 12 disciples, so 12 seemed like a holy number, so I went with it. Okay. Number one, opportunity. Verse 47. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. This is on the prophet side. Jesus was known to Bartimaeus. He knew all about him because he sat by the gate of Jericho and he heard all the news that was going backwards and forwards in and out of the city. And he knew who was doing what where. So he knew, and he'd known for a while, that there was this miracle-working rabbi. In fact, he had probably got 3 years of information about what Jesus had been up to as it spread around the region. All news in those days travelled orally, so people said it to each other. They chatted about it on the road, and Bartimaeus could hear well. Now was Bartimaeus's maybe one and only chance to escape from his world of darkness, to meet Jesus and see for himself, figuratively and literally. He's not going to pass it up. He's not going to risk missing out. So he has to act now. Number two, inhibitions. When he heard, he began to. Bartimaeus usually sat begging all day, whatever the weather, beside that road, hoping that people would give him enough money that he could live off. It was the pilgrim route to Jerusalem. There were lots of good earnings, especially now because it was coming up to festival time. But begging and being a beggar was all he did. Now, in this moment, he didn't let anything at all, what he was, what he did, and what others thought, hold him back. He lost his inhibitions. Number three, voice. To shout. Obviously, this is a prophet to shout, because prophets, never mind. Bartimaeus couldn't have negotiated his own way through those crowds and through that press of people. So he used what he had there and then, his voice, so he shouted. What he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, had mercy on me," connected him to Jesus. Because firstly, it drew Jesus' attention to him. It was specific. It used Jesus' name. It addressed Jesus by title, Son of David, which was the title the prophets had written about for the Messiah. And four, he knew his own place because he asks for mercy. So in his own words, Bartimaeus both exalts and lifts up Jesus and bows low and humbles himself. So he uses his voice in an act of worship. Next one, regard for the crowd. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but, and this is in the loss column, he lost his regard for the crowd. Although his shouting causes an uproar, those who are listening to Jesus are offended by it. They want to be listening, so they try to silence him. A rebuke is a sharp criticism. Perhaps well-meaning, they want him to quieten down. The voices of the many attempting to drown out that of the one. But there's that but at the end of the sentence. Bartimaeus is not led by the crowd. He ignores them and their external words, and he acts on the internal whispers of the Holy Spirit, which keeps connecting him back to Jesus. Number five, persistence. Persistence is in the prophet side. Bartimaeus is tenacious. Nothing and no one is going to stop him getting closer to Jesus. He is utterly determined to meet him with a sort of desperate desire that actually gets things done. So he shouts louder, the same words, but now to cut across the crowd. He knows what he wants. His enthusiasm, chasing hard after God, spurs him to call out persistently to Jesus. Number six. Also a prophet. Jesus' attention. Jesus stopped and said. Jesus is always paying attention. He always notices. He always hears the voice from the crowd. The words, the tone, but most importantly, the intention behind it. And he stops. He's a busy guy. He's on his final journey, his mission's goal towards Jerusalem. And he stops for Bartimaeus. Jesus always interrupts what he's doing to make time for the one who needs him. He gives Bartimaeus his full attention and he waits for him to come closer. So this is, in fact, a call. Number seven. His cloak. Throwing aside his cloak. This is a loss. He's clearly losing the cloak. Bartimaeus chucks his cloak aside rapidly. Why? Well, he's in a hurry to get to Jesus, so perhaps practically he throws it away in a literal interpretation of Hebrews 12, where it says, "Let us throw everything off that hinders and run." So maybe it's just practical. But I think it's a bit more than that. I think he's expectant, because beggars had special cloaks. They were stripy, which indicated that they were legitimate beggars. They had no other means of financial support. Their cloak was used to spread on the ground, usually across their laps. It was a tool of the trade to collect the money. It was also a weatherproof outer clothing and a night blanket. To lose your cloak so deliberately showed a great act of faith, because Bartimaeus knows he's not going to be returning to his old, wrapped-up, familiar way of life. Next one. Place. He jumps to his feet and he loses his place. Bartimaeus rises to the challenge that the situation presents. He doesn't wait. He responds immediately. He knows what he wants. He knows Jesus is the answer to it. He leaps up and moves forward, literally and figuratively, walking away from his former place. Meeting directly with Jesus means no more sitting on the sidelines in the dust as a beggar. Things are different now. Number 9. Jesus' face. He came to Jesus. And this one's a prophet. It's very personal. Bartimaeus and Jesus face to face. Despite whoever else might be there, close by, in the crowd, on the edges, this moment is for just him and Bartimaeus, together, truly seeing each other. This engagement is the beginning of the new relationship, because no one can really meet with Jesus and not be changed by doing so. And it's in the honesty and the openness of this encounter that they have that life-changing conversation about what is really on their hearts and what they truly need. There is no fear, no hesitation, nothing's wrapped up. It's just true and honest. Number 10, blindness. I want to see. Immediately he received his sight. So this is a loss. He loses his blindness. Jesus takes away the one key thing that is making Bartimaeus' earthly life a misery, his physical blindness. He sets him free from the limitations. Sight, a new life, wholeness. He is changed, literally, in the twinkling of an eye. And just for a moment, imagine again, like when you had your eyes shut, being Bartimaeus. Imagine the first thing you see, maybe ever, or maybe for a very long time, is the face of Jesus. But it's also somewhat ironic, isn't it? Because by his call and his address, Bartimaeus has already recognised Jesus in his heart and in his mind's eye by the way he calls him Son of David. And we'll come to that at the end. But now his eyesight catches up with his faith. Next, healing. Your faith has healed you. Clearly, this is a prophet again. Jesus' words refer to his physical healing. Bartimaeus believes Jesus is the only person who could help him who would meet his need. And remember the words that we spread out earlier. Faith, now faith, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And faith consists not least in recognising who Jesus is and trusting that he has the power to rescue us. It is the key to any kind of salvation. And for Bartimaeus, his faith sees the invisible. It believes the impossible and it receives the incredible. And his faith withstands the testimony of time. And as Hebrews 11 continues, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Last one, number 12, discipleship. And followed Jesus. Clearly, this is a prophet as well. Bartimaeus' story begins in need. It moves to gratitude and it continues in loyalty. And that is a summary of true discipleship. Having met with Jesus, he continues down the road after Jesus, literally and perhaps figuratively too. Because another reason that his name could be recorded could be that he went on and was known by his name as a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and even was a witness to what happened next. In my study Bible, it just so happens that the last verse of this story, verse 52, is at the bottom of the right-hand page. And when you turn over, chapter 11 begins with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, what we would call the beginning of Holy Week. Bartimaeus at the end of one page, the triumphal entry at the beginning of the next. So perhaps Bartimaeus followed on and turned that page and even saw the fulfillment of the prophecy he already believed in. Whatever happened, he found a new purpose to live his life. Next slide, please. Take a moment and just look at the 12 pointers. They're not all for you. Well, not everyone is for everybody. But the Spirit might prompt you to empathise with one more than another. Next slide, please. Now take another look, not in terms of Bartimaeus' story, but in the context of your own life of faith, both living it and sharing it. Today, will you do what Bartimaeus did? Maybe today is the day you are ready to lose what you need to lose, leaving some things behind to follow Jesus. Or perhaps you will remain hampered by the stuff from your old life that you're hanging on to and be swayed by the voice of the crowd. Maybe today is the day you're willing to accept the truth and allow it to set you free. Or will you remain spiritually blind and be rooted to the spot because that's what's familiar? Maybe today is the day you profit through your actively engaged and outlived deepening relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you will miss out by still sitting beside the road instead of following Jesus along it. What lesson from Bartimaeus' story is important for your life today? Mark makes it clear that Bartimaeus is a model to imitate, a man of faith, courage, and true discipleship. In the second verse of his hymn, "Teach Me, My God and King," George Herbert wrote this: "A man that looks on glass, on it may stay his eye, or if he pleaseth, through it pass, and then the heaven espy." It reminds us to look beyond the literal if we want to see the things of God, to see with the eyes of our hearts. This poem is based on today's gospel reading, and rather grandly, it's called "Opacity and Perception." He was just another pair of feet making his way down the road, two sandals placed one after the other, disturbing the dust, displacing the pebbles, another trekking traveller, setting off southwards, leaving the city. But blind Bartimaeus didn't see that. He was just another voice, conversing with his travelling companions, speaking in plain common Aramaic, with more than a strong hint of a northern dialect, asking and answering, pronouncing and pausing in daily dialogue with his disciples. But blind Bartimaeus didn't see that. He was just another temporary celebrity, the current talk of the town, the man of that moment, a new rabbi, sparking interest, causing a bit of a stir and gathering the crowds, a source of rumours and speculations that preceded his actual presence. But blind Bartimaeus didn't see that. He was just another man, a human being passing through that moment in time and space, an ordinary bloke doing his time on earth, making the customary pilgrimage, earning his keep along the way as an itinerant preacher heading towards Jerusalem. But blind Bartimaeus didn't see that. Well, of course he didn't. He was blind. But no sight doesn't mean no insight, because Bartimaeus saw things differently. In complete sympathy with his foreseen subject, blind Bartimaeus ascertained his identity with 20/20 vision. They wouldn't judge by appearances, determine by what they see with their eyes. They wouldn't listen to rumours and decide by what they hear with their ears. No, it was revealed by the Father in heaven through the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, because the Lord gives sight even to the blind. For when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Son of David." So he must have been able to see the Messiah. We're going to stand and sing our next song prayerfully, in hope that we too see the Messiah, as we sing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord," and then go on to sing, "To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory." We come to our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Hopefully you will all have a little sealable bag with some pieces of paper and a pencil in. Everything in your bag has been disinfected and it is just for you to use. Please leave the pencils and bags behind afterwards. But you have five little pieces of paper, five eyes. And they are for you to write some prayers. Now, we're not going to share the prayers. They are for you to write. And we're going to have about 30 seconds-ish, I guess, to write in the middle of your prayer. And there are some words, hopefully on the screen, that I'm going to say between each of the prayers we're writing. And they will stay up there all the way through. There we go. When I say, Lord, open eyes, can you respond with, that your glory may be seen? They are for you to sort of fill in now with your prayers in this moment, but also to take away and perhaps pray during the week. The first one is the pale green one. And it says on the outside, thank you, God, for my eyes and that I can see. And you have about 30 seconds to write down some of the things or people or places that you are most grateful to be able to see or have seen. So just jot those down in that space. And don't think of it as a finished list. It's when you pray during the week, you use these. Feel free to add to them. Lord, open eyes that your glory may be seen. Second one is a bright yellow one. And on it it says, please help those whose sight is impaired by... And you've all got different things written in the middle of your circles. So in the middle, think really carefully how you would like God to help those particular people in that need. So think what it is that they specifically need, depending on what you've got there. Maybe there is somebody you know who has the condition that you have on your piece of paper, so maybe you could actually put their name in as well. Lord, open eyes that your glory may be seen. Okay, the next one is a pale blue one, which says, guide those working to help those with eye problems. Okay, so these are the people who help people. And you've all got something different in the middle of yours as well. And again, write in the centre how you think God can guide them in their work. And be precise. Think what they do and think what they need. Lord, open eyes that your glory may be seen. The next one is the dark pink one, and it says around it, bless the work of, and then it's got something at the top, may they be supported with. And again, you've all got different things on that one. So write in the centre what you think that particular organisation, charity, whatever, can be supported with. Lord, open eyes that your glory may be seen. And the last one is the white one, which says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. And at the top, it says, ask for insight. Hearts flood with light. This is your chance to ask God for what you need to be able to see him better. And maybe this is the one that, if you don't pray for any of the others during the week, maybe you keep this one tucked in your Bible and perhaps you add to this one as the Lord prompts you. Lord, open our eyes that your glory may be seen. Tarina, would you like to bring forward the offering? And we'll just stand to dedicate both the offering and ourselves. Because the offering is only part of what we give back to God. Heavenly Father, receive these gifts of money that are presented here before you. Receive the gifts that are given in other ways that are no less valuable. Receive our open hearts and minds, that all of these will be used faithfully for the purposes of your kingdom, that others will truly see you. Amen. Again, some words you might not be familiar with, but hopefully they're words to send you out to remind you what seeing is all about. The tune is the tune to Christ Be Our Light, which is, well, it's nearly Christmas, so you can practice that tune at the same time. And I think we've got a whole chorus intro, I think. blessing and dismissal. God's words to his people. Do you see it now? Do you see that I'm the one? I bring death, I give life. I wound and I heal. There is no getting away from or around me. Jesus' words to Thomas. So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. And even greater blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. Faith is not belief without proof. It is trust without reservation. The writer to the Hebrews puts it like this. The fundamental fact of existence is that we trust in God. This faith, it's the firm foundation under everything. Everything that makes worth living, a life worth living. And it's our handle on all the things we can't see. So, as we go on our way, remember, we can't get there on our own. At heaven's gate, no one gets through alone. So as we wait for God to come and take us home, let us walk in the light with him till his kingdom comes. Amen.